Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Helen Thorne.
And I'm Ellie Gibson.
Ellie, guess what?
What?
We've got Nadia from the Bake Off on the show!
I know, because she's literally sitting next to me.
I know, right?
I've got no choice. You've cornered me.
Yes.
It's like a Nadia sandwich.
Oh, that's a nice thought.
Oh, that could be a technical challenge one week, couldn't it?
It could be.
A Nadia sandwich.
Well, it does contain mustard, because I know the listener can't see us because this is audio, but we're all wearing mustard today.
We are.
Yeah.
Bang on trend.
I know, it's like, you know, when you get the bridesmaids who wear the same colour but all a different style. We've gone that, we've kind of styled out the mustard.
We are just some weird, dysfunctional looking bridesmaids.
Right? Yeah.
Or just, we're just middle-aged women who marketeers know how to target.
We're falling for it.
Yeah. We're so this season. Anyway, Nadia, can you introduce yourself to the listener, please?
Oh, goodness, how do I introduce myself? I
say, my name is Nadia.
Is that it?
No, say things like you've done that's good.
Oh, my name is Nadia Hussein, and I've got three great kids.
Oh, that's nice. But more importantly, never mind that anyone can procreate.
Yeah.
No special awards for that, my dear. You won the Bake Off.
I did. I am Nadia Hussein, and I won the Bake Off.
No time for losers, because she is the champion, yes. My friend.
No prizes for second place. But you did get quite a shit prize for first place, didn't you? What is the prize?
Oh, it wasn't that. It was a cake stand.
Whatevs.
I think that's... Because we know, because we have Bryony on... We've got an episode with Bryony from the Bake Off as well. And, yeah, she said you didn't get paid. So you didn't get paid for all that time.
No,
you get a cake stand.
No. You get a cake stand. But, I mean, at least I got a cake stand. Everybody else left with debt.
With tears.
Debt and lots of tears.
But we're here today because, I mean, you got a cake stand, but, you know, off the back of the fame and your excellent cooking, you got some book deals and telly shit, and look at you now, you're on our podcast, you fucking made it.
Well, we get to swear and everything.
Yeah, oh, say all the swears you've ever... Do you swear?
No, well, not really, not that much.
Ooh, you can
like,
now.
Like, I have to get really angry. You're going to have to make me really angry.
Ooh. I hate all your cakes.
How's that?
I couldn't care less.
I've never eaten one of your cakes.
You don't have a crossbone in your body,
no,
I'm sure.
No, that's an act. It's an act. Yeah. When you've got kids, you just get really good at acting like you're like, ping, and you're like, you're on it, and you know what you're doing.
Oh, I'm so glad you spilt the milk on the newspaper again. Yay!
Ooh, such art. It's art, like artwork. Yeah.
Oh. No.
No, I can get angry sometimes. Not often.
All right. Give me a bit of side eye. I didn't want to make you angry. So we'll get into the book and we'll get into the bagel, but let's start with some basics. Nadia, please tell us about your family.
So I've got three kids and I live at home with my husband and my three kids and our four chickens and our budgie.
Oh,
six fish, yeah.
Was that always the plan? You were like, I don't want one fish, I don't want six fish. That's
we've
the number.
Got six little fish. And we've got a budgie called Rafe, who's gorgeous, because he's like a unicorn budgie. So he's not, like, he's gender neutral.
Right, okay, yeah. So it's a modern world, no judgment.
Gender neutral, we're not sure who he is.
But he's happy. He's called Rafe.
He's called Rafe, and he's unicorn coloured. So he's got like purples and pinks and blues. So he hasn't got that standard kind of budgie colouring where you're just all one colour. He's a little bit of everything. So he's great.
And his parents are supportive, are they?
Yeah. Great. We're happy. We can do whatever he likes. we'll allow him to follow his dreams within the confines of a cage.
Yeah. Living his best life within a cage. That's nice.
We've got four chickens. And like, we didn't expect to have that many animals because my husband hates animals.
Oh, okay.
Like, really hates animals. And like, I say the word. I don't like that word very much, but he really, really does not like animals. He hates them.
But you've got 10 of them.
We've got way too many.
Some of them.
You can't eat a budgie. That's disgusting.
Chickens have been eaten in the past.
They have. I do feel really bad when I'm like you know, like crunching at a carcass of a chicken for a chicken soup and looking out at the chickens. I'm like, oh, I feel really bad. But then I eat it anyway.
And he goes, like,
I understand people get accidentally pregnant. How do you accidentally end up with like six fish and a gay budgie?
Gender neutral.
Very different things.
Don't label him, Ellie. Rafe's his own person.
Exactly. His own bird.
His own unicorn budgie.
Confines.
Yeah. Sort of the cage. Of the cage.
So I said to my husband, like, I love animals and he doesn't like them. And I just said, it's either animals or another baby. And he said animals.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's not willing to have another one.
No, I mean, you can have animals killed. So, I mean, that's an easier option, I guess.
Harder with kids.
Yes, exactly right.
Once you've had them.
Well, speaking of which, because I said, tell us about your family. And you've just spent a lot more time telling us about your budgie and your fish than your children.
Well, the kids are a massive disappointment. That's why...
Aren't they?
The animals are just a distraction.
Yeah.
So three kids. I've got two boys, an 11-year-old and a 12-year-old, and my little girl who's 8, who, by the way, hates this and hates my job. And so the boys are like really cool. They're like, yeah, that's her job. She does whatever she does. Whereas my little girl, every morning when I have to go off somewhere, if I've got my makeup on, she's like, oh, no, she's going out. And so she looks at my face, and if I've just moisturised, she's like, it's okay, she's home today. And that's about as far as I'll go when I'm at home, just moisturise. And if I've got makeup on, she's like, she's going out. So she stands there, like those creepy little, like, you know, the little girls in horror movies that wear night dresses with hair all in
like
their
in the ring.
Face. Yeah. And she, like, limbs, like heavy limbs. She stands there and she goes... like that.
In case the listener didn't hear that.
I wish you never won makeup.
Oh my God.
Like that.
Nadia.
Yeah.
And how do you respond to that?
I just feel sorry for whoever she marries. Can you imagine what she's going to be like as a teenager?
I wish I never married you.
Well, we've all been there.
She hates it. Yeah. Absolutely. She's the only person in the entire universe... in the galaxy that does not like Mary Berry.
Well, does she just hate the fact that Mummy has to go to work, or does she specifically hate the Bake Off and everything it stands
for? She does not watch it anymore. She refuses.
Is that because of the big move?
Well, she doesn't... Oh, yeah. Disappointed about it going to Channel 4.
Yeah.
I would be. Yeah. So she's decided that she no longer wants to watch it anymore, so she doesn't watch it. But she thinks... at that moment when I won, she thought it was a job interview. So the people that gave me the job were Paul and Mary. So she's the only person in the whole wide world that does not like Mary Berry.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
Mary Berry, doesn't like us because we were doing the red carpet interviews for the, what's it called, the TV Awards. It was just a Facebook Live thing. Let's not sugarcoat it. Mary Berry walked past us and we were wearing our signature gold cat suits. And we're like, Mary, can we get an interview?
You have signature gold cat suits?
Do you not have a signature gold cat suit? Did you not get the memo? We'll put them on at the end of the podcast and then...
That's what we wear most days. We'll show you a picture. So we wear signature gold cat suits and we also wear vagina cat suits as well on stage. We sing very sweary songs. But we were interviewing celebrities and Mary Berry walked past us.
For real life vagina suits.
Yes. Not made of vaginas. We look
that
like...
That would be weird.
That would be odd. But yes. So they've got like a furry hood... and they're hot pink and they've got a zip up the front.
Right, so do you look like you're birthing through the...
No, our face looks kind of like a clitoris and then the hood is the labia, very hairy labia. Right.
Doesn't it look like you just being born.
Could, yes, a little bit. A little face coming through our holes. Yeah.
The wrong way, I suppose.
Yeah.
You're either going to be sick or you're getting a new idea for a cake. either one is fine.
I have a great idea for a cake.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, last
Every
year...
bread needs yeast.
Yeah.
What? Every bread needs yeast.
Yes, she...
Write that down. You should put that on a picture
quickly,
of a sunset.
Quick, on
Facebook.
Yeah, last year for our 5-year podcast anniversary, we had a cake that looked like giant fish fingers. So maybe this year we should have a fanny cake. Are you available?
I'm into that.
Great.
Let's do
okay,
it.
Let's,
right, brilliant.
We've locked it
what
in.
What flavour?
Ooh. Clam.
Mornay.
Taco. Badly packed kebab. I could go on. Mary Berry.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, so we were asking Mary Berry to have an interview, and we interviewed all types of celebrities like Lorraine.
Let me just set the scene. So you know, vagina's going on right
no,
now.
No, just a just very gold. Classic gold. Classic gold.
Okay.
We interviewed, you know, like Lorraine, Eamon Holmes, Neil Morrissey, and then of course.
She always does. We actually interviewed some quite famous, like really excited people.
Like Fern Cotton.
And she always lists Neil Morrissey in the top three as if he's as good as Rylan. You know, but anyway.
Yeah, anyway. So Queen Mary walks past us and we go, Mary, come and have an interview. And she just looked us up and down and walked away. And I went, we're not scary, Mary. And then she walked a little bit faster. Anyway, but you know, she'll come back to us.
You're rethinking the gold.
No, maybe shouldn't shout at her. Maybe shouldn't like that. Maybe it was too hard, too quick.
It was nothing to do with those gold.
Probably,
no. I tried the vagina suit next.
I think so. I think she's a daring lady. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
You know, she goes for a bold M&S bomber. She can go for a vagina capsule. What's the difference, really?
Same difference.
Exactly. So do your kids? So your kids don't like your little girl doesn't like the bake-off. Do they like cooking? Your kids? Are they into cooking and baking?
The eldest one loves cooking, does not like baking. The second one, my second son, does not like... Let's just label them 1, 2, and 3. So number one really, really likes cooking. And number two doesn't. Hates being in the kitchen, does not enjoy it at all. He can't see the point in eating.
Oh my God.
He just says, what's the point when you can play video games all day long?
Have you explained... Well, literal survival is the point.
There is that. But this is why I work to save up for therapy.
It's so, worth it in the end. I think our kids will need it after seeing us dressed as big fannies.
So that's why you work.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you tried to get him in? Because my eldest son is 7 and I've tried to get him into cooking, and we do a bit of bake. If it's a cake, basically, which I don't really like baking, but if it's a cake, they will do it. But generally, they're not very into it. Have you got any tips for getting kids into all that?
Well, like I said, my eldest does not like... Oh, he loves cooking. My youngest loves baking. Whereas my second child, my middle child, does not like... He doesn't like being in the kitchen. And so at first, I was very much like... The other two were in the kitchen quite a lot, so I was like, come on, join in. And I think I was being a little bit pushy. And I tried so hard not to be, and I was like, oh no, I could hear my mum. I was like, oh no, I'm doing that weird pushy mum thing. And so I just left him to it. But if I leave him to it, he just goes straight to the video game. So I said, do you fancy doing something else in here? And so now he loves doing the washing, and he loves to sweep the floors, and he likes to do everything around the kitchen, but not necessarily the cooking itself. And through time, over the last maybe 2-3 years, he watches the others chop things up, and he's become intrigued in the way that they chop, and he's like, oh, let me have a go at that. And so he's kind of done it naturally himself, so it's kind of weird. It's just he's done it himself without me. Pretend like you're enjoying it, and they might join in.
I'll give it a go. Yeah. Why not video games, you see? So I'd probably be with the middle one. I'd probably be off. I used to be a video games journalist, so I'd be like... Yeah.
Twiddling the knobs.
Your mum can make the biscuits, son. Bit of Fortnite, let's go.
Do you cook with them most nights, though? Like when you're cooking, like the family meals and things.
Absolutely
like that?
Absolutely not. I'd go mad if I was cooking with
Fair
them
enough.
Every
Good.
Single night.
That is the correct answer, Nadia.
Yeah, you'd go insane if you're cooking with them every single day. Just, you couldn't, I couldn't do it. No, I cook on a, for them, I normally cook on a Sunday or a Saturday evening. We'll cook together, so we'll put it all together. And I cook 5 meals and then stick them all in the fridge, between the fridge and the freezer. And then, so like this week, I've cooked on the Saturday, and so I won't go in the kitchen unless it's for work or for pleasure. I don't go in there. Dinner's cooked, it's ready. It's just somebody has to
eat it. What do you do for pleasure in the kitchen, Nadia?
Make flapjacks.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, fair
doesn't
enough.
Everybody?
Yeah. Cup of tea, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, if I'm feeling wild, it'll be Earl Grey.
Oh, yes.
Ooh, treat yourself.
Very nice. So that's great. So do you ever resort to the old fish fingers, chicken nuggets?
I like a fish finger.
Who doesn't like a fish finger?
So I have this thing. I'm slightly obsessed with fish fingers. Now that you've said it, I kind of feel like eating fish fingers. You
happen to but let's go out after this.
Yeah.
I know a little great little place down the road. McDonald's, they do a good fish finger burger.
Okay. We're close personal friends with Captain Birdseye, so we can text him. He'll come along. But he came to our party, our anniversary party that we have. He's quite handsy.
Right. Yeah,
anyway.
He's an Italian actor called Riccardo, and he could touch me in every hole. Anyway, do go on.
Fish fingers.
Yes. Right. I mean, that's what he said to me.
I love a fish finger.
Oh, you're great. You're not being paid enough for this.
You're great.
Good.
You just like think of this stuff, just like that.
Just all the filth.
Always there.
Yeah.
Is it always there, the filth?
Always. We're always filthy, aren't we, Ellie?
Always. So you love a fish finger?
I love a fish finger. So what I do, whenever I make fish fingers, I always make a few extra and then stick them in the fridge so I can go in the fridge and eat them cold.
Oh, so you make your own fish fingers?
Yes. No, straight out of the box. Like.
Oh, okay.
She's not an idiot, Ellie. Right,
yeah. It's like,
yeah,
whoa.
No.
It's like saying you forge your own coat hangers. Yeah. Why would you do that?
No.
Oh.
But I always make enough and stick some in the fridge and then just eat. I like them cold.
Yes.
So I like a cold fish finger.
They've almost got a little bit, still a bit of a crunch on them though. You can sort of, I
just,
like them too.
I think they're a bit meatier. But we have this thing where we have fish finger challenges. So we want to see how many fish fingers you can eat in one sitting. How many do you think you could eat?
Ooh.
I can 11.
Oh, I was going to say 8, but now I feel like I should beat you. I'm going to say 12, but I'd probably be sick. What about you?
The most I've had is 18. But I was being polite and leaving the other two. I could have totally eaten the other two. It was two boxes of 10, and I'd eaten 18, and I thought, should I just leave those two? And I kind of left them in the fridge, and then that thing where somebody else eats them, and I live with the regret even now. 5 years later, I still really regret not eating those two fish fingers.
When we get our TV show, will you come on our TV show and do the fish finger challenge with us?
Let's
make it fucking happen.
Let's make it happen.
We need to do this. Are you listening?
Anybody give them a show.
Dave.
The papers are going to pick this up. This is going to be the cover of the Daily Mail. My Fish Finger Bin Shame by TV's Nadia. This is going to get picked up, guys, and tell you.
There is no shame in fish fingers.
No. Do you shove them all in at once like a marshmallow?
No. I mean, there's no time.
Yeah, you're not a savage.
No, I mean, take your time. You cutlery if you want.
Oh.
Yeah, change it up. I like a different sauce.
Ooh.
What would you put with a fish finger?
I like a salad cream.
Oh, yes, very strong.
I like a salad cream, maybe a sweet chilli.
I was going to say that.
Ketchup, mayo, but I have a variation of sauces so that when one set of fish fingers starts to taste the same, I'll change it up and then it changes it and then I can keep going.
Yes, I got to
18, but I reckon I could do more than 20.
Wow. Well, Helen, you and I better get in training.
The challenge has been set, my friend.
Yeah.
Bring it.
I will wipe the floor with you.
Because I was going to ask you, what is your sort of desert island dish? Would it be fish fingers? Like, if there was one thing, if you were on a desert island and you only had the ingredients to make one thing for the rest of your time on the island.
On this island, would I have a fully functioning kitchen?
Yeah.
Yes, let's say that. Yes, you would. Yeah.
On a desert island?
It'd be like at least.
Have you thought this through?
No, but just let's go with it.
Just copy it off the radio, Nadia.
Right. Like we haven't, because I haven't heard that question before.
Would I have a Bain Marie?
Would I have a sous vide?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Not a sous vide then.
I knew. I was calling your bluff.
Do you know what? If I was on a desert island, I wouldn't want to cook for myself. I would want my desert island dish. Like, what's the thing that I would
eat? Or what about the death row dish? You know, you're just about to be killed. It. All right, we're just about
Is that a better question?
Yeah, we're just about to...
I feel like we're getting wound up in admin.
Your question was rubbish.
Yeah, well...
But I wrote it.
Some would say you took it too seriously.
I take my desert island questions very seriously. They're very important.
What's your favourite dish, Nadia? I think this is what we're trying to get to. We're being fancy.
I think my favourite dish is anything that I haven't cooked myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I spend so much time in the kitchen cooking, sometimes it's really nice not to cook it yourself. Fish and chips.
Yeah.
Fish and chips, mushy peas, curry sauce, and always put vinegar in the mushy peas.
Oh.
Mix it up. Oh my goodness.
Oh, I've got
a life hack.
Yeah,
I've done that salivating thing.
Game changer. But a pickled egg. But I never just bite into the pickled egg. Before I eat it, I always grate it. So you've got like grating kind of.
My mind is being fucking blown.
Yeah, grate your pickled egg.
great job. Again, this is yet another motivational quote. This is one I'm going to put on a picture of Mount Everest. Great job, pickled egg. TV's Nadia Hussain.
Yeah, can we put that on a t-shirt?
Oh, I would wear that.
Great job, pickled egg.
Yes. Let's make Britain great its pickled eggs again.
Amazing scenes.
Oh, well, I mean, I daren't ask any more questions about your desert island. I'm certainly not going to talk about books or anything.
Yeah.
So shall we have a bit of Bake Off chat?
Yes.
Are you bored of talking about the Bake Off yet, Nadia?
No, no. You want me to say yes?
No, I want you to, you know.
just be your own person.
Tell me your truth. Tell me your truth.
It's a common question. You're not original.
Nobody ever pretended we were.
No.
It's a long time ago. Can you believe it? It's 3.5 years.
Wow.
Which is like a little over 3.5 years. So it's a little bit... I quite like watching it, but I like to... like all normal people, let's just admit that we don't need Dr. Utker shoved in our face 4 times.
Yeah.
And I don't need 4 cups of tea. So I record it and I fast forward and watch as much as I can bear.
Mm.
Very good.
Yeah.
But does it take you back, like watching it? Do you still feel the feelings of like the first day that you walked into the tent?
It's really odd because after Mel and Sue left and the new guys came, Sandy and Noel came in and Prue, it feels like a different show for me. Because for us, Mel and Sue, Mary, Paul, that was the Bake Off that I had always known. And the year after that, it was the last year that they'd done it. And for me, when I watch any series with Mel and Sue and Mary in it, for me, that's the Bake Off I remember. That was our Bake Off. And I think it's the same Bake Off, but slightly different now.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it doesn't feel like the same tent anymore. Not to say that it's bad in any way, and I think it's still a great show and it still does the same thing, but it feels really different to me.
Yeah,
because for me, so much of that experience was the bits in between that you guys don't get to see, where Mel and Sue come up and give you a little hug and say, hey, you know what, it's gonna be all right, it's just cake, it's okay.
Oh.
and you don't, nobody sees that.
No.
And I think if you could switch those cameras on and see what really happens sometimes, it's quite an emotional experience. So it's just not the same Bake Off for me. Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. Was there a moment where you thought, before it was announced, where you thought, I am going to win.
No.
I am, really?
No. Not even when I'd won.
Really?
Even after I'd known that I'd won and people were watching it, I was sat back looking and thinking, she's not going to win. She's actually not going to win this.
No,
thing.
No. The but big tall guy is. No,
yeah. The fireman.
Yeah, yeah.
And the prison governor. Yeah. It's like, they're going to win. It's not going to be me. And I never thought for a second that I was going to win. And even at the point where we were stood there and Tamal and Ian were stood next to me, I was looking down at my shoes and they were covered in icing sugar and flour. And all I could think was, I better get these shoes in the washing machine sharpish because they need cleaning and they're black.
Yeah. And everyone's going to think I've got a massive Coke habit.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Which,
terrible.
Which, I mean, it can drive you to that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, it can drive you to that, the pressure of being in that tent. At that moment, and they announced my name, and not even then for a minute did I think that I was like, what? They just said my name. But I actually handed the trophy back to Paul.
Yeah.
Because like, you were like, what, just a cake stand?
What?
I'd get one of these in Argos.
Is it made of money? Where's the check?
I handed it back and I said, are you sure you've made a mistake? Because I don't think that's for me. Do you want to redo this all over again and give it back to you? And now that I work in telly, I realise they were never going to redo it or give it back to anyone. But at that point, I was willing to give it back because I thought they'd made a mistake.
Mm.
Because then you have to go into hiding.
You have to shut up about it. What, for about 3 months, isn't it? Or something?
About 6 weeks.
Oh, okay.
So you have to hide it. Mm. But at this point, we'd already sold our house and we were moving down south. And so we'd sold the house and I'd won, but we had people coming in and viewing. But they were opening up the cupboards and there's this Bake Off trophy up there, and I'm thinking, okay, that's got to change.
This is when you need the body bag.
So I did this thing where I wrapped it up in a couple of bits of bubble wrap, and you could see distinctly it was a cake stand in the wardrobe.
Nobody would think that was a prize.
But people were viewing the house while Bake Off was on. So when they put two and two together, and then they see a trophy inside your wardrobe, they're like, she won.
Hang on.
Right. They, yeah. And so my husband said, well, you'd be an awful murderer because you're never going to be able to hide the body.
That's it. There's a leg in the wardrobe, exactly. And an arm in the fridge.
He said, yeah. You're just not very good at this. So he then bought, you know, those suitcases, the one, that, like the Russian doll suitcases.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He bought a set of six and he put the cake stand in the smallest suitcase and then put that suitcase in the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one. And the next one.
Exactly.
I mean, there's careful and there's stupid. He goes, well, there's no way anyone's going to ever see that kickstand.
And I said, house.
Well, you could. I said, well, my dad, after I got the trophy, my dad said, I can have that trophy, right? I said, why do you get to have the trophy that I just won? He goes, because you're my daughter.
Give
and
it over.
Goes, so you, he goes, and I couldn't understand the logic. He was like, so this is in his hand, and I don't know, give back my trophy. I don't care if it's rubbish, you've got to give me my trophy back. So I was taking this trophy off him, and he was like, yeah, but you won, but you're my daughter. And I go, I don't get it.
Also, why do you want a cake stand? £8.99 from Lakeland.
Yeah.
Just buy your own cake stand.
Well, you can't put a curry on a cake stand, and that's about as far as he goes.
Why didn't you disguise the cake stand by putting a cake on it?
Because it's not very useful as a cake stand. It's wonky.
Think it through, guys. Come on.
It's a little bit. It's got a little wonk in the middle.
Oh,
so
man.
You can't really
wonk in the middle.
So you can't put a you can't use it as a
cake. Can't put a cake on it. This is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. Sort it out, Paul. Sort it out.
Yes.
Now, one more thing about the final is your speech that made me cry, and I may cry again. Had you thought about what you wanted to say, or was that something that just sort of came spontaneously?
Yeah, people ask me all the time, like, did you think about that, and, you know, is it something that you thought about, had you written it down? But it was those couple of sentences, they were a combination of 10 weeks of not just 10 weeks of hard work and giving up a lot of yourself. It was whatever I said at that very end was a combination of everything that I've experienced through life to get to a point where it's just much more than those 10 weeks. And I think anyone who knows me or kind of understands why I did it and why I was there in the first place will know that those 3 weeks were a combination of just, I've spent my whole life constantly kind of battling, be it culture, religion, you name it, being a woman, being a stay-at-home mum. There's always someone telling you, you're not good enough, you can't do this, you can't do that. There's always hurdles to jump over. And it got to a point where when I won Bake Off, even though at that point I was willing to give the trophy back and film the whole thing again, I was like, do you know what? I can do this. Mm. And more to the point, I will do it. And that's why I'm still here, is because nobody, I won't let them forget me.
No.
You can't forget me.
Yeah.
No.
Give me a wobbly cake stand all day long. I'm not going anywhere.
I'm coming back.
I'm going nowhere.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
awesome.
So what would you say then to someone who's... Because it feels like that was a moment for you, wasn't it? That was like a sort of... But what would you say to someone who's sort of in the earlier bit where you are anxious and worried about stuff and you don't know if you can do it and all these people are telling you you can't do it, whatever? What advice do you have, I suppose?
It was hard enough just getting there. I remember getting to week one, making it to the final 12 and then making it. And I said to my husband, look, what am I supposed to do? Because he's the one who applied for me. So I said, what on earth am I supposed to do now? I've made it. He goes, okay, so now all you do is go and film the show. Whatever you do, don't get kicked out week one because that would be really embarrassing.
So relaxing. So supportive.
So motivational.
Thanks.
Don't fuck it up.
Exactly. So week one and everybody ices the side of their cake in the technical challenge and I don't, because I thought I was like being, because I never ice the side of a cake because my husband hates loads of icing. So I was like, hey, so I'm just doing what I would normally do at home. Get a grip, you've watched this show for years, you do whatever, you copy everyone. That's you. It's, technical challenge is not the point where you start to
go free balling.
Don't go it alone, you copy, you look around and you copy. And I didn't. And I thought I was being really clever. And I realised that I'd made a massive mistake and I thought I was going. I remember calling my husband that night saying, yeah, I'm going to get kicked out. I was like, oh, man. I was like, why are you so disappointed? He goes, because I can't brag now. I was like, there's nothing to show. Because if you get kicked out week one, I've got nothing to show off about. And from week one to week 10, I can't even count how many times I had a panic attack and how I really, really struggled. So
was that fear of failure, or was it fear of being on the telly, or was it a combination of
I things? Can't control my panic attacks. They come whenever they want to and I have no control over them, and they leave when they want as well. So I have, they're like an uninvited guest, and they just they come and they go as they please. So I had zero control over them. So I just, the one thing that I would say to anyone who's kind of afraid to do something, I think what the one thing I always told myself was, face your fears. And you only really know that fear was irrational till that fear was irrational till you come out the other side and look back at it and say, actually, you're not that bad. And to me, each step of doing Bake Off was a little bit of me saying to myself, do you know what, I can be scared and I can come out the other side and I can do it. And I think that's what it taught me. And like now, in the last 3.5 years, I've done some crazy things that have scared the life out of me. But I do them because I know it's not going to kill me. I'll be fine. I'll come out the other side. And you know, I can look back at fear and say, in your face, fear, you know, it's not that bad. Mm. But, you know, like I said, I can't control my panic attacks. I had a food shop this is one of the worst panic attacks I've ever had. It was looming all day and the food shop came in. And I ordered coriander and they gave me parsley and I had a panic attack and I went blue and I've collapsed. What I want to know is, in what planet is coriander the same as parsley?
I mean, that's the most important of that story to me.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, how could they get that wrong?
Why did they do that to you?
How is parsley a substitute for coriander?
No, it is not.
They may
not
look the same, but they taste completely different. No, do they not know that?
Idiots.
I know.
Oh, so it wasn't like a mistake. It was like they didn't have any coriander in the shops, so they gave me parsley.
Substitute.
That's not okay.
No, not at all. I want my money back.
Too right.
Yeah. Had them killed.
Yes.
Thank you. Justice served.
Yeah, exactly right.
So your self-help book, How to Face Your Fear and Always Grate Your Pickled Egg, is out next year.
Yeah.
But also you've got a book out this year. No, dear. I'm just pitching it for you. We're in Penguin now.
Yeah.
Can we pitch it? Now, do you like the sound of that?
Great
ladies,
that egg.
We've got some PR publishing ladies here. Is that a thumbs up?
Yeah.
Three thumbs up and one maybe.
Thanks.
It was 2 out of 3. That's all we have to do to get through to the next round of X Factor, isn't it? So I'll take that. 15%.
This is like the judges' houses.
Don't you get in there, love?
Great,
well,
that egg.
We'll talk later, Nadia. But tell us about your new book that's out now.
Time to Eat, which is something that we seem to not have time to do anymore, which is... It's such a shame because when you've got a young family, it's really hard. We're time poor. We're always kind of like, I feel like we're constantly juggling, you know, making the most of and just kind of just getting by. And I've been the busiest I've ever been in the last 4 years. But, you know, this book is about the way I've cooked for the last 13 years. And it's about I realised when I had kids that I was spending so much time cooking that actually I wasn't spending enough time making eye contact with them and actually playing with them. So although it was great and I was enjoying myself and I love being in the kitchen, where's the time to actually sit down and enjoy everything else that's around me? So this book is full of delicious recipes, but lots of tips and tricks on how to extend your meals. So there's double batching. So if you're cooking one meal, if I'm cooking a big pot of curry, let's cook twice the amount. Let's cook some for tea today and then stick some in the freezer. So you've got some for next week. So essentially, if you cook seven meals 1 week, you should be able to have the next week totally free with all the food in your freezer. I just think that we need to utilize things like, back, you know, many, many years ago, they used preserving and pickling and drying as ways of preserving food. But our freezer is our friend. That is the modern day time-saving, ingredient-saving tool that we should make the most of. So definitely freeze things. You know, I've got like potato peelings. Most people would chuck them away. But I peel all my carrots and potatoes, broccoli stalks, stick them all in a freezer bag, and then at the end of the week I make a massive vegetable, thick vegetable soup.
Really? I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah. Mind blown, people. Mind blown.
I mean, where were you in the war? We could have used this sort of talk. Oh, really?
She's going to solve climate change with this. This is amazing.
Yeah, we're just, it's about...
So what, you just boil it up and then blend it? What do you do?
Boil it up, garlic, some, you know, chop up a whole lemon, the rind.
Oh, yes.
Coriander motherfuckers.
Yeah. Not parsley. There might be parsley in this recipe. It might not be coriander. And then, you know, lots of garlic. And if you want chilies, and then just like cook it down with some veg stock and then just stick blender straight in, whiz it all up. Easy peasy. You got veg soup for lunch.
Yum.
For dinner, you know, and it makes quite a lot. If you, you know, depends on how much you're getting through in a week. But, you know, it's, why throw it away? If you can eat it and it's not going to poison you, cook it.
Stick it in your fucking mouth.
Yes.
Good. Done.
You could say about, well, like A4 paper. Or, you know, I don't know if that's true of everything. That's one piece of advice.
If it's not going to kill you, just put it in your mouth.
Press stick.
Toxic.
Yeah. Very, very good.
I'm not saying I'm going to change your life. What I'm saying is I'll give you back a couple of hours in the week where you're not having to cook.
Mate, you've already changed my life. You tell me about the pickled egg thing. I mean, well, that's changed. I'm changed forever.
Yep.
I will always be different because of what you have shared with me. Have you seen Wicked? Well, I won't spoil it.
I was just going to say, I've just seen in your book Fish Finger Enchilada.
That's it.
Hello there.
Oh, amigo.
Arriba, arriba.
Andale, andale. Other, let's say, cultural appropriation at best.
Tucker Bell.
Let's not say the other way. Yes. No, that looks amazing. And are there recipes in here for picky eaters? Because, like, some kids, you know, the kids who will only eat the beige food. Like, my youngest son, he's having a bit of a ham phase at the moment.
Right.
He'll eat most things if there's some ham, at least on the side, like a little garnish. But he doesn't like spicy food, stuff like that. So are there sort of recipes in it?
I'm trying to think. What could...
I mean, that's got the word fries in it. He'll eat
where?
Lava fries.
Yeah, well, no, that's got chilli on top and loads of cheese.
What's cloud bread?
Cloud bread is... so it's basically egg whites and cream cheese. And so if he likes beige food, he might like this because it's very white.
he's not like a food racist.
Yeah, I made him sound like a racist. Does he like coloured food?
Ask me that.
Oh dear.
There's nothing I can say to that that's a correct answer.
Yeah, I'd like to see you get unstuck. But cloud bread,
yes,
really easy because you can use that as a base for pizza. So it's really easy. You whip up egg whites, you fold in some cream cheese, and then you bake it in the oven. And so you've got this puffy, kind of white, gluten-free bread that you could put any toppings on top of it, like tomatoes, some cheese. It's really delicious, really easy.
I think you'd eat that. That sounds great.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
And what is corned beef sub?
Ooh, I love corned beef.
So do I.
Yeah. I love corned beef, but I couldn't find the halal equivalent for years. And then I kind of like gorged on it and ate it quite a lot. Mm. So it's basically corned beef in a sub.
I mean,
ding dong.
That's what it says on the tin.
Exactly.
Literally on the tin.
Yeah, but there's things in there, like really, there's fun things in there, like the cereal milk ice cream, which is basically cream soaked in really sweet cereal.
Like your Cheerios and other brands are available.
Yes. And then whizzed up and then whisked and then just turned into an ice cream. Really easy, no churning, straight in the freezer.
Wow.
And it tastes like breakfast cereal.
Can you do it with Cocoa Pops?
You could if you wanted
That's
to.
It, he's going to lose his shit. That's all right. It's going to change his life.
Yeah, change his life. Just do that.
Oh, preserved lemon tray bake. That's my kind of tray bake.
With chocolate chip pan cookie. Mm. So there was, for such a long time, I never had an oven, so I only had the stovetop. So I would make my chocolate chip cookies on the stovetop. So if you just make your dough and then put it into a frying pan and just leave it on a really low heat, you can bake that cookie. And then while it's still warm, you just like scoop it out with a bit of ice cream and then that's it.
Lush. So, we could basically list all the recipes. They're all delicious.
We could.
You should buy her book, listener. Where can people get your book, Nadia?
All right, so she's got this thing. She always says to people, like, and where is your book available? As if the person is ever going to go, there's only one bookshop.
Yeah.
It's up on Charing Cross. Like
Milton Keynes.
Where does anyone get a book? I'm assuming it's available in the shops, or are you personally posting them out to people by
hand? There are no flaps in this book, so that's always really, really good.
Yes, excellent.
Cleaning up as I go.
Very nice. And there's some lovely photos of you. Look, you're labelling some, chutney. Like, very nice.
You've got to see my chickens. One's named Miss Waffles. Mm-hmm. And we've got Kruczak, which means chicken in Polish. And then we've got Dijaja, which means chicken in Arabic.
Very good.
They were wild.
Multicultural.
Very diverse. Yeah,
we are. We're a diverse family, we are. Look, there they are.
Oh, that's
the
lovely.
The joy on your face.
They are lovely.
Those babies.
And Rosa. That's Rosa. But yeah, they make us very happy, which it's a bit sad because right next to their page there are some eggs.
Which came first?
Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, it was a good effort, mate.
Thanks.
Now, Nadia, we always like to end the podcast with a scummy mummy confession.
My scummy mummy confession this week is that my son said, mummy, come to the toilet with me. I said, why? He said, because I've saved up my poo so we can have a long chat.
How old is he?
7.
Oh, that's not
going to
last.
No, so that was nice.
That's cute.
That paints a nice picture, doesn't it?
Did you sit in with him?
Yeah, we had a chat.
I couldn't cope with that. No. Just too many sounds.
No, it's just many sounds. But, you know, it came from a nice place, so to speak.
So when we had my son circumcised,
Lol.
He's not gonna be very happy about it.
He's not gonna care anyway.
And you're not saying which son.
Exactly. I've only got two. If I had one, that would be awful. But yeah, no. So I've got. So I had my son circumcised, and actually, I think it's happened with both of them. Well, with the first one, I was really cautious and I was really nervous. So I kind of left him just like open in the hope that it would all just dry up and just all be fine. And I didn't ask for any advice, because when you have your first kid, everyone wants to give you their advice, and everyone wants to say, oh, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. And so I was like, I can do this, this is fine. And I didn't realize, like, his first wee, that doesn't come out in the right direction.
Right.
So it kind of like goes like this, and it comes out in lots of
like streams, like a fountain,
like those things that come out of the lawn, like sprinkler.
Right. Oh.
So there's no stream, there's like a sprinkler situation.
Wow.
So I had no idea. So I could see he's like ready to, I could see like trickles, and I was like, oh, he's going to wee. So what do? I kind of step aside in the hope that he's just going to do it, and then I could just clean up after him, and then he goes like straight into my face.
This is brilliant, yes.
So straight into my face, and then by which point I'm like really worried that he's not okay, and I'm fine, and then a day later I'd realised that I didn't really wash myself, so I was like, what is that smell? I only realised after the smell, I was like, oh, that might be the piss on my face.
That'll do it. It's not the pickled egg.
You are a scummy mummy.
Oh my god.
I am.
Yeah.
I am.
She is queen of the bake-off and queen of the scummy mummies.
That is
you
wonderful.
You are amazing.
I mean, I'd hoped for a lot from this podcast because you are one of our heroes. I did not think to myself she'll tell us a story about having piss on her face. So thank you so much for sharing. That is a lovely, lovely
story. I'm really hoping the publishers and the agents will let us leave that bit in the podcast.
Don't say it. That's not an option. Why did you mention that? It's our podcast.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
we own it.
Well, there we go. So your book, Time to Eat, is, will it be out when? What's the date?
11th of July.
11th of July. So, and what's next? More books? More telly? What are you going to do?
Yeah, hopefully. Just keep doing this till somebody says that you're an imposter. Get the hell out. So, yeah, I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah. Well.
And just for my mother, you made the Queen her birthday cake.
I did.
And that was all right?
Yeah, that was all right. Scary. Cool. A little bit scary. And it was one of those things that I hadn't... You know when you don't realise what you're doing and then you're doing, you're like, okay, that's the Queen and I've had to make her a cake. And it was one of the most surreal moments of my life. But it happens very quickly. She is like an apparition.
Yeah.
She just turns up and she's gone. And then we don't know where she's gone. But she did come up. And then I obviously went over to her and I was slightly nervous. Muslim woman handing the Queen a knife. Like, I don't know how much.
I mean.
Do you know what I'm saying? So
there's a lot of history there, guys.
Just saying, like, slightly nervous. It's like, let's go over and let's cut this cake. So she cut this cake. And then Prince Philip comes over and I didn't know he was there. And then she said, oh, so this is the young lady who won the baking competition. And I was like, that's it, I've made it. She introduced me to Prince Philip. And he did not say anything remotely racist.
Then that must have been the best. If the best thing you can say about that experience is, like, a member of the establishment was not racist towards me, I mean, that's a great day, isn't it? That is a great moment.
It was a lovely... Everyone had a lovely time.
A lovely time and nobody was offended.
Great! Win for all cultures.
I mean, Helen knows how I feel about the royal family, so I'm glad to, enjoyed that very much.
Just, we differ in opinion, and I really like them. So there we go. Okay, so should we end the podcast, Ellie?
Yes, let's end the podcast, Helen.
Oh, Nadia Hussein, thank you so much for being an amazing guest. You've been so much fun. Thank you.
And I should be grating a pickled egg the minute I get home. I cannot wait. I literally cannot wait. Thank you very much for listening. Do go to scummymummies.com for all the tickets, for all the live shows. We're going to Edinburgh, Helen.
We are. We'll be there the whole month. Please come and see us. We're at 7:50 in the Assembly Rooms. You going to come up to Edinburgh?
I think I might.
Ooh. Go on there. We'll share a fish and chips together.
We'll grate some eggs.
Do it.
That's the dream. Thank you so much.
I was
going to
say, it'll be the first time eggs have been grated live on stage at Edinburgh, but it almost certainly isn't. It's probably been 400 times.
Yeah. Deep fried.
Our book is still in print.
Well, we're recording this a few months in advance. We'll see.
We'll see.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.
No, so we're a comedy double act called Scummy Mummy.
Yeah.
That's the theory.
We're actually two of Britain's leading Brexiteers.
Extremely right wing, and we want to put Britain first, and that's what we'd like to talk to you about.
Yeah, don't think I haven't been there before. Do you actually think I haven't been there?
Oh, God.
Can we talk about cake, please?
All right, yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.